Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those who know that the world's political, religious, media, military, and economic institutions are rotten, and that they have caused the problems that are besieging our planet, and therefore there is no religious, political, or military solution possible. It is a complete waste of time to lobby for one group over another. Our mission is therefore to look behind the headlines, to know who is perpetrating these crimes, to understand why they are doing so. And as a result, in our second hour, we're going to use evidence and reason to explore the Torah, which means teaching, because its covenant, which is a family-oriented relationship, provides the only reliable answer. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 877-376-45. Special bonus today, if you call in today, you get to hear Scott operate the board. Scott is the longtime producer of the Shattering Myths show and is pinch hitting today, so it's our pleasure to have Scott back. I want to begin with a story that is gaining a fair amount of attention worldwide. It pops up on the news feeds and then falls off. I think it's on and off because of the fact that it's difficult for newspapers to cover because the claims surrounding this story differ so radically. Here is the CNN's version of it. It's a was one of the last presentations of this story. It reads, a 10-year-old girl claims that she was pressured to carry out a suicide bombing on a police station in the Helmand province, officials say. Now, in their headline, they actually used all of the American jargon for alleged suicide bombing. Girl alleges that she was pressured to carry out. Of course, the judicial rules of you are innocent until proven guilty that made the American legal system, at least for a while, famous, don't apply in other countries. And there's no reason for those, but old habits are hard to drop, I suppose. Then the CNN report covers what I have shared. There have been conflicting reports about how the plot was foiled. But the fact that a young girl was caught up in the middle of it was shocking. Now, it went on to say that it shocked Helmut Karzai, the greedy, manipulative sleazebag that the United States has propped up over Afghanistan. It's very much like what we did in Vietnam. We also, as a nation, don't seem to be able to break out of old trends. It's the most corrupt government on the planet today. Then Helmut Karzai made a statement saying, oh, you know, children are our future. We ought not be blowing them up as suicide bombers and using them as a weapon of war. It's okay if you recruit young adults and you can use suicide bombers that way, of course, but not old children. Makes us look bad. Makes us look like we're savages. Well, the fact is, and CNN even reported in the next line, it shouldn't have been shocking because Afghan and foreign forces have arrested hundreds of would-be suicide bomber children, in addition to hundreds that they have not arrested because they could only scrape them from the sidewalks. The successful ones, if you will. Last year alone, Afghan police intercepted 41 children, whom they say insurgents were planning to use as suicide bombers. No, Muslims. I mean, we got to be able to say the word. You know, yesterday we had a former FBI agent, a former agent in military intelligence, a former agent of the Department of Homeland Security on this program, who had the responsibility of investigating and briefing the U.S. government and its agencies, law enforcement, on this threat. And to his credit, at least he didn't blame everything on Al-Qaeda. To his credit, he didn't call the threat terrorism. He at least went to the root of Al-Qaeda and said that the threat was the Muslim Brotherhood. And that is one step deeper than Al-Qaeda. It's the Muslim Brotherhood that is the wellspring from which most Sunni Islamic terrorist organizations have emerged, including the PLO, for example, that controls the mythical land called Palestine. He then, when compelled, of course, pushed back one step behind the Muslim Brotherhood and went to Sharia and said Sharia is the blame. Well, Sharia is a derivative of the Quran and Hadith, the religion of Islam, the scriptures of Islam, the documents that comprise Islam. Islam is nothing more than the words and deeds of Muhammad, which are compiled exclusively in the Quran and Hadith. Why not just say the motivation for 99.9% of suicide bombings worldwide is Islam? But of course, CNN can't say that. They don't even go, in this case, to Al-Qaeda, although they love to say terrorists associated with Al-Qaeda. They, of course, don't go to the Muslim Brotherhood. They don't go to Sharia, and they most certainly won't go to Islam. Because this journalist who wrote to this story is either an ignoramus, or he or she has an agenda. Anyways, this last year, Afghan police intercepted 41 children whom insurgents were planning to use as suicide bombing. Who knows how many they did not intercept that were too mutilated to tell. These children were between the ages of 6 and 11 years old. So this girl, if she was 10, was a bit elderly amongst this group. Imagine a religion so perverted, so obviously false, that the leaders of that religion, those who are most devoted to that religion, those who know the scriptural basis of that religion best, thinking that it would be appropriate, good, religious, holy, to recruit someone, much less children, to wear a suicide vest packed with explosives around their body, nails, sharp objects, ball bearings, a little rat poison in there so that blood won't coagulate, and have them walk into a public place, a religious mosque, a marketplace, sometimes even a police station, and then push the trigger. Blow themselves up and people they do not know. Innocent people all around them. And that creating that carnage is going to serve their God. That the suicide bomber, by doing so, is going to end up in the Islamic paradise. Multiple virgins satiating their desires. Rivers that flow with wine. Imagine that. Imagine a religion that perverted, that perverse. And it happens around the world. It's not just this 10-year-old girl. 41 times last year in Afghanistan alone of failed children suicide bombers that were actually intercepted. Happens all the time. Every Islamic country in the world. 9/11 in America, the most famous Islamic attack on innocent civilians, was a suicide bombing. That's all it was. Why is it that with this religion that is so perverted, so corrupt, so obviously false, that it promotes these suicide bombings as if they are a service to their God Allah? Why is it that after so many of these, tens of thousands of them, and some so extreme as to change an entire nation, 9/11 in America, that the media still can't associate Islam with the bombers, with those who motivate the bombers, with those who build the explosive backpacks for the bombers. When something is this obvious, when it is this pertinent, when it is this central to life and death, when it is the central aspect of a $4 trillion expense for the United States in this war on terrorism in the last decade, when it has cost so many American lives, as well as, you know, now about 100,000 lives in Syria or more, when it's the most savage act perpetrated on the world today, and it all comes from one source, Islam, why is it that a reporter for CNN refers to those who sent the children suicide bombers as insurgents instead of as Muslims? I mean, think of how egregious that crime against truth actually is. What does CNN have against telling the truth? I mean, this is not just a casual mistake. Hundreds of thousands of people in the last decade have died as a result of Muslims equipping fellow Muslims to act as suicide bombers to kill innocent people. It's the signature act of this religion. And yet, after all of this, CNN will tell you a lie, will purposefully, deliberately, knowingly mislead you. Why is that? Why do you suppose that journalists have so little interest in actually reading the original documents of Islam, reading the Hadith and the Quran, to determine whether or not Muhammad was a terrorist, to determine whether or not Islam sponsors terrorism, so that they could connect the dots, tell the story, explain what's happening? But no. We'll return in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There really are very few myths in our world today as serious as this one. Now, I'm not going to say this is the most serious myth. This absolute aversion by the U.S. government at all levels, law enforcement at all levels, the judiciary at all levels, the State Department at all levels, academia at all levels, the media at all levels, the military at all levels, to disassociate Islam from terrorism. It is unequivocal. It is undeniable. It is so overwhelming that it is impossible, based upon evidence and reason, to do what they have done, and yet they do it. They have chosen to promote a lie that those who commit terrorist acts are insurgents, they're terrorists, they're radicals, they're extremists, they're anything other than Muslims. And you have to ask yourself why, when it's so obvious. Muhammad, according to the Quran and Hadith, led 75 terrorist raids. Led and inspired. He didn't go on all of them. He was a lazy bum. He led and inspired 75 terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era. Islam was funded entirely by terrorism. It was spread entirely by terrorism. Muhammad said, "I have become victorious with terror." Allah admits to being a terrorist in the Quran. Many of the terrorist raids are detailed in the Quran and Hadith, where the men are killed, often beheaded. The women are raped, Muhammad himself participating. The children are enslaved. The property of those victimized is confiscated. And make no mistake, this is not a military raid. This is a terrorist act, because in all cases, 100% of the cases of those 75 raids, the victims were civilians. Never once did Muhammad, in his lifetime, engage in conflict with the military. Not even with the police force. Never once. It was always his armed goons attacking civilians. Textbook definition of terrorism. In the Quran, throughout the Quran, and particularly in the last 24 surahs, those revealed in Yathrib, today's Medina, they order all Muslims to be jihadists. They tell Muslims they must fight and kill on behalf of Allah until the entire religion, the entire world, submits to their religion, Islam. The Quran tells Muslims they must use all weapons available. It tells them they must lie in wait. They must lie. They must attack savagely. The Quran even says that those Muslims who do not want to participate in jihad cease to be Muslims. They become hypocrites, and that good Muslims must kill them so that Allah can torture the hypocrites, the peaceful Muslims in hell. The Quran and Hadith make it extraordinarily clear. There are no stories of Muhammad going to a community and bringing provisions. Not a story of Muhammad building something worthwhile, offering something useful. It is nothing but a constant onslaught of terrorist attacks, of kidnapping, of enslaving, of brutal mass murder, of assassinations, of rape, of incest, of pedophilia. This is not cherry-picking the worst out of a sea of religious material. It's 99% of the material is immoral, violent, obviously false. And with something this obvious, the five earliest sources related to Islam are easy to find. There's no dispute as to what they are. They are the Quran, the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad, the Tariq, or the history of Islam, and the topical collections of Hadith by Bukhari and Muslim. Why is it that people are paid to be journalists by operations like CNN, and yet they won't read them and report on them? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. It is serious, this discussion that we're having here, this realization that a little girl, a 10-year-old, was caught being instructed to be a suicide bomber, and you have people shocked. But they'll just go on. Tomorrow it'll be no different than today. And yet we want to use this story because sometimes one individual story is more powerful and is more insightful, is more telling, is more compelling than is the story of 3,000 people that you don't know having their lives snuffed out over the course of an hour, as the case of 9/11. Well, according to Karzai, the little girl, known only as Somai, was forced to attempt the suicide attack and is now under the government's protection. The girl's brother, Zahir, is known locally as Hamed Shahib and is a local Taliban commander, the country's interior minister said. Now, that part of the story is reasonably consistent with what everyone is reporting. That this little girl, brother, is the one that put her up to it. And that the brother is so twisted in this religion of Islam, this religion where death is celebrated, where submission is sought, where compelling is the order of the day, where terror is the signature act. He's so twisted in this religion, which is so obviously false. I mean, that's why I'm... let me finish the thought, and then we'll go to the next one. That it's this little girl's brother, as a fundamentalist Muslim, that sought to kill his own sister in the name of this religion. Now, why is that? Why is it that when this is so ubiquitous, happens so many times around the world, that we don't do the obvious? When a religion is this obviously false, this utterly stupid, this grotesquely immoral, this vicious, why is it that the political correctness that invades CNN and all of the media and our government precludes us doing the merciful thing and exposing and condemning such a horrid religion? You know, if you're unwilling to expose and condemn Islam based upon Muhammad's words and deeds, its lone founder, its singular spokesperson, if you're unwilling to do that, what you're doing is giving a license to morons like this Taliban commander to continue to sacrifice not only the lives of his sister, but the lives of the innocents he sought his sister to kill. When you are accepting of, when you are tolerant of, when you embrace, when you support vicious, unmerciful, ruthless doctrines, such as Islam, because of political correctness, out of ignorance, out of design, as is in the case in the media, you're aiding and abetting terrorism. You're making it possible for them to continue to murder and mutilate hundreds of thousands of people each year. The blood of the victims is on your soul. And you think you're being enlightened, you're being merciful, you're being compassionate when you lash out against those who tell the truth, who are willing to expose and condemn that which is perverted, perverse, vicious, uncivilized. Yes, you consider yourself civilized, members of the media, when you don't tell the truth, when you go out and deliberately lie, say that this was perpetrated by insurgents as opposed to by Islam, and when you viciously attack those who tell the truth, calling them hateful, when the opposite is true. The most compassionate thing, the most loving thing a person can do is to protect the innocent from those who are vicious. It's not to make them more vulnerable. The case against Muhammad, against Islam, is overwhelming. Now, I spent 10,000 hours studying. You don't have to do that. I took the time to reorder the Quran chronologically and to set it into the context of Muhammad's life using the hadith so that you could understand precisely what it was saying. That took an enormous amount of time. But you don't have to do it. You don't even have to buy the book. Go to prophetofdoom.net. It's there free. HTML, PDF, Download it onto your Kindle. Read it on your pad. Print it out. It's free. You can even listen to it by MP3. Comprehensive. Covers everything that we know from the earliest sources about Muhammad and the terrorism that he inspired. It is so easy to stop this from happening. All you have to do is have more people tell the truth. Take the time. Learn the true nature of this religion. Read the Quran. Read the Hadith. If you want to read it in chronological order in the context of Muhammad's life, read Prophet of Doom. Study it. And then have the courage, the good sense, the compassion to speak out against this religion. If people did, if the president, rather than lying and calling Islam a great religion, told the truth, that it's a savage religion, that a river of blood runs from beneath Muhammad's feet. If we had the courage and the compassion to use words wielded wisely, evidence and reason, to expose and condemn this religion, little girls wouldn't be beguiled to wearing suicide vests, and Islam would be no more. And yet instead, the ignorant, the immoral, around the world, wield bullets and bombs and they make the situation worse. Yes, in the twisted mind of religious Muslims, they're justified in killing their sisters, to kill innocent civilians, because ignorant and irrational leaders of militaries and nations around the world have killed Muslim women and children. So the way to solve that is to kill fellow Muslim women and children. Stunningly stupid. And yet people who have college degrees, who can read, who can write, can't tell you the truth. We have Glenn calling in from Philadelphia, who has a comment on this. And Glenn, I'm just frustrated this morning that you have stories like this. And even when they expose the root cause of the problem, you don't have a single media outlet, not CNN, not the New York Times, not the BBC, no one who is willing to tell you the truth. Why do you think that is?
I give a bit of a multi-part answer. First of all, it seems like your argument sort of carries within it its own answer in a sense, because I would suggest that people don't mess with Islam because they're afraid of violence. They don't mess with Judaism because they're afraid of monetary and political retribution and allegations of anti-Semitism. But they love to mess with Christianity because Christians are a prey species by comparison. And Christians tend to have that turn the other cheek thing and love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbors yourself. And in the present day, Christianity is relatively benign. But not to mention the fact that the globalists, want to make use of Islam. You know, they love all of this. And I would suggest that at the top of the whole thing, there actually are Luciferian, satanic globalists who want to set up this world-dominating system, and they are utilizing, Islam as a big, participant in this whole thing.
Yeah, as a club. Yeah, Islam is an extraordinarily effective, that's a very lucid answer, Glenn. Islam is a very effective club. I suspect that the New World Order, as it is being conceived, and you know that I am not a conspiracy advocate. I very, very seldom speak in terms of any form of conspiracy. But the world is clearly moving towards a one world economic order, a one world military order, a one world political order. That's pretty obvious. Hard to deny that. And what I see is something that most people have missed, and I've made perhaps my one contribution to this is that most of those who see a one world order have a tendency to see communism at as the active ingredient, and I don't see that. I see fascism. And fascism is a vastly more effective tool for the elitists who would who equate power and money as the same thing. And power, control, money are all essentially the same thing. And the only difference between communism and fascism is that in fascism there is private ownership, although there is absolute control. Which means that in practice, for the average individual, there is no difference between communism and fascism. But for those in control, the difference is monumental. And the reason that I see, as you do, that Islam is a tool that will be wielded by those who wish a one-world fascist system is that it is inherently fascist. It is a perfect tool. Virtually every Islamic country on earth is established in a fascist manner. We'll return to Shattering Myths after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. There is a some truth to what Glenn has said, in that Islam is knowingly being used as a tool to control people, to establish a fascist state. Very much what's being established here in America. Within fascism, you have almost total and ubiquitous government control, and every time there's a hiccup in America, they pass another 1,000 laws controlling every aspect of American life. The most egregious, most recently, is Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that made health care vastly more expensive for those that were actually paying for it, and that puts the government in the position where they choose where you buy it, how you buy it, and what you can buy. It is the nature of fascism to have total control. And so that would answer why economically we're being pushed in this direction, but it would not answer why the media is so ubiquitously dishonest. And I want to offer a suggestion, Glenn, as to why I think this is the case. I'm going to go back in history. There was a fellow named J.P. Morgan. He was a banker. He decided that as a banker that he could make a lot more money if he got exclusive rights to supply weapons from the United States to England during World War I. And that he could make even more money if he got exclusive rights to England in terms of their borrowing capacity so that they could buy that which they could not afford in terms of weaponry. And then J.P. Morgan, making a ton of money, realized that he was going to lose it all, because it was pretty clear as the war progressed that Britain was going to lose. And so he needed a way to retain the profits that he had made by enabling Britain to kill people more effectively. And so he came up with the plan, along with Chamberlain, of causing the Germans to sink the Lusitania with American civilians on board, knowing that if he could orchestrate that, that working with Chamberlain, if collectively they could orchestrate it and have munitions on the ship so that it was in violation of international law, that would cause Americans who would react. They wouldn't think. They wouldn't bother to investigate, but they would start waving the flag and become patriotic, and they would want to sign up to fight on behalf of the Brits if he could pull that off. Now, this is how it leads to the media. The Germans knew exactly what Colonel House and Woodrow Wilson, working with J.P. Morgan and Churchill, had planned to do. And so they started to buy ads in America's newspapers, which were the principal media at the time, saying, don't get aboard this ship. They're trying to have, they're filling it with munitions. We have to sink it because it's bringing weapons to Great Britain. Don't get aboard it. One newspaper picked up the ads. J.P. Morgan bought the rest. He bought them all. He bought every newspaper in America so that people would be fed lies, so that he could fan the flames of war, so that he could get Americans killed in a war that they had no reason to participate in. and that they would think they were doing their patriotic duty. He bought the newspapers, and he came to control them, and he made his fortune, and he retained his fortune. An American dies. Americans, by the tens of thousands, died as a direct result of the greed of one J.P. Morgan and the corruption of Woodrow Wilson. He's the man also that gave us, of course, the Federal Reserve and the progressive income tax, all in 1913. So perhaps there's still this kind of control over the media, and that it's known whoever the idiot was that wrote this particular story and blamed insurgents on motivating little boys and girls to be suicide bombers, knows that if they were to tell the truth, they would lose their job. Very similar to what we heard yesterday, where the generals and the leaders, the senior officers of America's judicial and military institutions all said the same thing. Shut up. We don't want to hear the truth. Don't even want to hear it.
Right. Absolutely. Exactly. Certainly the media and monetary monopolies figure in heavily to all this. But one thing I wanted to mention about the fascism-communism thing. Mm-hmm. The average new listener coming to Patriot Radio, listening to various programs, can hear people hold forth on communism on the one hand, on Nazism on the other, fascism, neo-feudalism, etc. My contention is that any and all of these forms are, at very least, they are totalitarian, oligarchical, yes, tyrannical, yes, and genocidal. Yep. Those are the common elements.
Yeah, we agree. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.